Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Jean Marie, and there is a new show on the ID channel called Raw Terror, and I'm going to tell you guys about their first episode. They do have two episodes now, but this is the first one. It's called Hidden in Plain Sight. It's the story of 34-year-old Valerie Harmon, or Valerie Timon. Her dad's name is Alan and her mom's name is Sarah. They tell the story of their daughter and how she was murdered by her husband and their side of how the timeline and everything else, how they find out about stuff. I used the episode and then I Googled his name and a bunch of news reports come up from Maine and stuff like that that you guys should seriously, if you guys want to, watch, because her husband was quite the fucking character, I tell you what. So, I'm going to tell you about that. So I used a bunch of different sources besides the episode. So, and one of them was the Maine newspaper out of Maine. And I will tell you guys the name of that paper when we get to it, because I'm not even there yet. Anyway, so, like I said, her parents on August 25th were waiting for her phone call because they were in communication pretty frequently. I think it was weekly or something. They made sure that they at least talked to each other and did that whole back and forth. That call never came. So on the 30th, they text her husband and he's like, "Oh, I can't believe she didn't tell you. We broke up. She left me. I don't know. I haven't seen her. I don't know anything about it. She's gone." So then her parents start texting his parents and they live with his parents. I guess the husband's mom is an ass. She's like a dick. And so it wasn't very, Valerie wasn't the happiest living there to begin with. So they talk to the dad and the dad says, "Well, what do you guys want us to do with all of her shit?" And her dad's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, we bagged it up. It's all bagged up and ready to go. We just don't know what to do with it." And the dad's like, "Well, that's weird." And I personally think that's weird too. And I guess, though, after I thought about it for a hot second, if he does tell his parents, "Hey, mom," because I guess he's a mommy's boy. So I guess if he's like, "Hey, mommy, she left me for someone else," and the mom really doesn't like her anyway, do they bag up her stuff? And she's like, "Oh, poor sweet little baby boy, don't worry about it. She's a hurtful, mean lady." You know? So maybe it's not as weird as I thought it was, which I don't know. But okay, so her parents live in South Carolina and she lives in Maine. Like I said, in Fairfield, Maine with his parents out in the middle of fucking BFE nowhere. So they wait and they wait. And because they're like, "Okay, well, maybe if she did leave him, maybe we just got to wait for her to get done doing whatever it is she's doing and she'll contact us." Well, on September 9th, they are done waiting. They call and report her missing. They call the cops in Maine and from South Carolina. The cops don't report her to the media or ask the media for help for a week. When Luke talks to the cops, he says that on the 30th was the last time he saw her at a Walmart. She got hungry. They went to the Walmart. He says, "You want to come inside?" She says, "No." She stays in the truck. When he comes out of the Walmart, she is gone. And he just thinks that she ran away, is what he says the first time. So that's what, like I said, the first time to the police. Well, and this is the second story. Like I said, the first story is she ran away with someone else. Now he's saying she ran away at the Walmart and he didn't report it. So on the 19th, 2 weeks after she goes missing, he speaks out on camera for the first time for News Center Maine. And he says, quote, "I just want her to come out to come out, not to be scared. No one's going to get hurt. Or no one cares what she's done." What the fuck do you mean? What she's done? No one cares what she's done. And I've never heard a husband talk about his missing wife and say, I just want her to come out. Come out of where? Normally it's like, I want her to come back to me. Find her way back to me. But that's not what he said. So his story from the news is bullshit to start. I'm not even kidding. So like they start filming it. And this is something I didn't watch from the show. So if you want to watch what I'm telling you about, you have to go to the news center for Maine. News Center Maine to watch this. So the camera turns on. He spells his name and his last name. And he goes, she's like, okay, well, tell me the story again about the last time you saw her and everything else. And he goes quiet and he's looking around and he goes, well, I didn't tell you this to start, but she has keys to the truck. I have keys to the truck. So she might still have keys to the truck. She said she was going to take the truck and she was going to leave and never come back. I tell her, don't do that. I'm going to come with you. Then she got hungry. Then we go to the Walmart. She goes inside. I go inside. I come out. She's gone. Weird. And then he makes the whole statement like, no one cares what you've done. Who the what the fuck? And he says, like, I've tried to talk to her parents. I was going to report her missing, but her parents just jumped the gun and beat me to it before I could do it. Dude, it is the weirdest shit I've ever heard about in my fucking life. And then he says, they're like, well, how are you doing? Are you holding up? Are you doing okay? And he's like, yeah, I've been drinking plenty of water. The Marine Corps teaches, the Army teaches you to survive. Sorry, he's a Marine. He's an ex-Marine. He was honorably discharged. He's done 2 overseas tours. So, I mean, he is a vet. So, he has gone through some things. But, he's like, no, I've been drinking plenty of water. I'm fine. I'm good. I've been helping my folks out, splitting wood, stacking wood for them. So, you know, just chilling. And he said, oh, yeah, I've been gone out on my own searches. Done it. Ain't found nothing, but I've done it, which is weird. It's just weird. And so the next day, on the 20th, the cops go out to his family's property. It takes the dogs less than 4 minutes to find her body. She was shot in the head and in the neck on the property of his parents in a shallow grave, wrapped up in a blanket behind their house. And they're talking to the cops while talking to him at like a gravel pit, and the cops tell him, they're like, well, we found a body at your house. And he's like, did she commit suicide? Like, dude, I don't know, this guy is the weirdest dude. And no, I'm not being an ass, but like, he is just fucking weird. And so when they find her, they don't just find her, which is even weirder. So that news report, that news thing that he did, they did that a foot away, foot or less, like a foot or more, foot or less, one of the two, away from where her body was buried is where he chose to have that interview at. So he's doing the interview with her right there, being like, no, I don't know where she is. Crazy time. She ran away. It is so crazy. So, okay, there's other shit, too, inside the shallow grave with her. There's a half-eaten bag of potato chips, some sweet tarts, a bottle of Gucci cologne, Gucci Guilty cologne, and a note on an index card. The note reads, to my one and only Joy Joy, flowers forever. I love you, Valerie Joy T. I'll love you forever. Rest in peace. My heart in Jesus. Love, Lukey Bear. And that's his, like, little pet name. He says that she calls him. And in a mason jar is some flower stems and his wedding ring. So, like, she was buried with things that say, he was here. He buried me. So he says he has no idea, but they do arrest him. And when they go around asking people about what they've seen. And the last time that they actually saw Valerie, what do they see? A lady says that she did see Valerie upset, pacing up and down the driveway on the phone. When they get her social, her like social media and stuff, there is an argument between Valerie and a so-called quote-unquote friend about the fact that Luke is having an affair with somebody else, and Valerie's like, no, he's not. And it's a whole big thing that blows up. Well, that night, she calls Luke 31 times. They go unanswered. Okay, 31 calls go unanswered. So you know, every time that that phone goes to voicemail, her blood just fucking boiled. Because I'll tell you right now, murder. Don't answer my fucking calls. Oh, dude. Trust and believe, when I see you, we be fighting. Like, we be fucking fighting. And then he picks up at 10:20 p.m. They have a phone call for 13 minutes. That is the last conversation she is known to have. So you know that 13 minutes was, where the fuck are you? Who the fuck is she? When the hell you gonna be here so I can beat you? Type of situation. Like I said, she found out that he was cheating that night. Like, the whole thing tumbled down upon him. And then it turns out that he was actually boning during those 31 missed calls. So that would have just added to the anger. So, the cops believe that he wanted to move in with the girlfriend and start a new life. So that's why he killed Valerie once she found out. Instead of breaking it up and everything else, he just killed her so that he could move on with the girlfriend. Well, then he tells a different story. The third story, he says, is, well, actually, she asked me for heroin because my brother does heroin. So I got some, gave her some. She OD'd on it. I watched her OD. I didn't want her parents to know. So I buried her in the backyard with love and respect. And they're like, okay, that might be believable. Except for the fact that when she died and we took her body, we did a report on her. And that report shows she had no drugs whatsoever in her system. And then he just like gulps. And then he calls the same news reporter back. Like, he wants her to come to him after he gets sentenced. No, convicted. I believe it was convicted. And he's like, I had to say those things because people had my mom and my dad and they killed her. And they told me to tell the overdose story. So I did it so that nothing happened to them. And the reporter has, I'm assuming, the same look on her face that she had during the first one of, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, literally, he does his own closing statement too, and I really wish that they would have had a camera on the jury instead of him, because I'm pretty sure the jury had a bunch of like, what the actual fuck looks on their faces, because I did, sitting at home. I was like, okay, why? That was not good. That was very, very bad. Anywho, so the cops go to the hotel that he was staying at because his house is a crime scene, and they arrest him on September 1st near the hotel. He wasn't at the hotel. He was nearby. On the 23rd, he goes into court. He enters no plea. The judge orders him to go under a mental evaluation. His family claims that he has PTSD from his two tours overseas, which may be true. And then that's when he does give another, the third story about the overdose and how those things weren't true. And then on the November 18th of 2018, Luke pleads not guilty. And when he leaves the courthouse, they're like, Luke, tell us how you feel. Did you do it? What happened? He says, God bless our families. And God bless Donald Trump. That's what he said. So jury selection starts on March 29th, 2018, which I'm assuming went very, very well. Trial starts April 2nd. He is found guilty. He gets 55 years. And when he gives his own closing statement, like I said, the dude is a joke. He pretty much tells them, okay, yeah, they have all this evidence okay? But just because the bag's half eaten doesn't mean I was there. Just because my wedding ring and the note with the nickname only she called me was on there doesn't mean I was there. And just because it's my parents' house and I gave an interview right there doesn't mean I was there. Because they have no DNA that I was there. There is no evidence that I was there. How the fuck else did she get there? You're trying to say that she went up missing from the Walmart and whoever took her from the Walmart, and this Walmart's like 20 miles away or some shit. It's not even in the same fucking town. So you're telling me that she comes up missing from a Walmart and that person just so happens to take her to a wooded area behind your parents' house, buries her there, puts your wedding ring in there, writes a fictitious note, puts the flower stems, is an asshole, drops his trash, and leaves. What? And even the judge was like, since we're in court and I'm on the record, I can't tell you what I really want to say of your story, but I'll tell you, American people, he believes that it is bullshit. And that it sounds like bullshit. And that it's disrespectful to her to continue these lies, even after the crazy amount of evidence they have against him, to continue with all these crazy lies. And her parents, oh God bless them, Alan speaks at the sentencing or whatever, and he's like, when you love someone, you don't stop loving that person, you love them forever. He's just like lost in his ways and like all this great, like just amazing man. And you watch these parents and they get to go to where their daughter was laid to rest for the very first time. So like, it's very an emotional, moving. You always wonder, like I always do anyway, like when you watch these shows, what the family's timeline is. Because like, they show you on the show that someone knocks on their door, fucks up their day, and then we find out that's it, you know? Like, for the family side, that's it. Like, they just get to come on and be like, she lit up a room, and like, all those things. That's all they ever get to do. No one ever gets to be like, I was sitting here, I was doing this, and then the cops came, and then this is what happened. This is what the phone calls were. This is what was said. You don't get any of that until now. And so it's really amazing, and it's very sweet. And it was just very sweet. It was just super, super emotional, really. Just, I don't know, like I said, they get to go all the way. They travel from South Carolina up to Maine to go there. And his family, obviously, because they own the property, has put a cross up on the tree where her body was found. And she was, like, in the fetal position. And so, like, her last spot is marked. And so, like, her parents got to go there and say goodbye. And it's just crazy. I just couldn't even imagine that. And especially at 34 years, she was 34 years old when she got murdered, and he was 34 years old when he murdered her. He even tried to put it off on his little brother, who does have drug problems, and they found drugs and shit in the house when they did the search warrant on the home. Not that it's important, but like, he really just tried to put it off on his brother. Like, oh no, my brother Alex, I think his name was, fucking, he helped me put her body in the ground. And it turns out that he was like nowhere near even there. He was somewhere off doing some hood rat shit, so he didn't even get placed there. But like, and she was a cosmetologist, so like, the last time one of her friends saw her is like, they had like that hair cutting moment where you just bullshit with your friend, she cuts your hair. And what a great what a great last memory to have of her. So there's just a bunch of cute stuff you guys can find, and she's gorgeous. And like her dad said, when she was younger, her and her dad had that connection that you could like, they like look at each other and laugh and like know the what the other was thinking and all that cute stuff. So it's just really nice to be able to see that type of stuff. So like I said, it's the ID Channel's Raw Terror. I'm gonna do the second episode review probably tomorrow. But, yeah. Hopefully you guys liked this review. If you guys already watched the show, let me know what you guys thought of it. Because really, Luke is fucking out of his mind. Like, just... I don't know. Tell me if I'm the only one who feels that way. I don't think I am. Because if you guys watch these clips, and you guys can even go to YouTube and watch them. Wow. Just wow. And her parents do ask for anybody else who does do like anything on this, that people refer to her as Valerie Harmon, because they believe, they ask the judge in the court proceedings to refer to her as her maiden name, because they say that Tymon is just like pretty much disrespectful to call her by her married name. And I agree. So this was the story of Valerie Harmon. Very, very tragic. So yeah. I love all of you, and I will get you guys another episode probably tomorrow. So have a good day. Bye.